We are recording. Welcome to Hebrew Club, and thanks for all coming up here. It's a little warm up here. We are going to continue now with our 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we just started the chapter last week, so we are about ready to start verse 3, actually, of chapter 10. Samuel, in the first couple of verses, remember, had just anointed Saul to be the king, and so Samuel is the one who is talking in our text. All right, and when we concluded last week, he was telling Saul where he was supposed to go and what he was supposed to do, and some people were going to meet him and tell him that his father had quit worrying about the asses which had been found. Remember, that's why he originally went searching, and was beginning to worry about him. So that's where we pick it up in verse 3, with Samuel now is actually going to give Saul directions as to where he is supposed to be traveling. Okay, so we pick it up with Vehalafta Misham Vahala Uvata Adelon Tavor. This is from, the first verb is from Kalah, and you will pass over. Kind of like Avar here, it's a synonym. And you will pass over Misham from there. Vehala'ah, and beyond. That Vehala'ah is simply an adverb that means and beyond and further. Okay, so you'll pass from there and further. Uvata, and you will come to the Elon Tavor. That's the terebinth at Tabor. So evidently, in that map that I'm passing around, they actually have a little arrow where the terebinth or the oak of Tabor was. And so you can see it there. Must have been some big tree, you know, like a redwood sticking out in the Kansas prairie or something. I don't know. Nowadays, we just cut it right down. But here it was a landmark. All right. U metza'u kasham shalosha anashim. And they will find you. Notice, what's the root of u metza'u ka? Matzah. Good. And they will find you there. Namely, here's the subject. Shalosha anashim. Three men. All right. Olim el ha'elohim beit el. Three men. Now notice that this is a participle. Call from Allah. All right, three men going up to God at Bethel. And notice Bethel is on the map too. As you're passing around, you'll be able to see where Bethel is. So again, notice that there's no preposition before Bethel as we've seen before. All right. Notice the series of participles that is being used here as he's referring to the situation. Echad nose shalosha gedayim, ve'echad nose shaloshet kikrot lechem, ve'echad nose navel yain. Alright? One will be carrying three gedayim, three goats or kids. Okay? Notice the participle nose. And one nose will be carrying shaloshet kikrot lechem, three loaves of bread. Notice that word kikrot that I translated as loaves. Kikar is used to refer to a round, you know, the bread was kind of round in a circle. It's also used to refer to the environs of a place, a circle of a place, something like that. Also a talent, I guess, maybe had a round shape. And one will be carrying a navel yain. One will be carrying a flask of wine. Okay. Any questions about three? So you can see in conversation how he's kind of talking. Any questions? All right, good. Verse 4. Vesha'alu lashalom. And they will, now notice this idiom, and they will ask peace to you. This is an idiom which means they will greet you. And it's actually still used in modern Hebrew, sha'al lashalom, to ask someone's peace or to greet. All right, so a good English translation, and they will greet you. Venatnu leka shte lechem velakachta miyadam. Alright? So they will greet you and they will give to you shte lechem. It's literally the two breads. Alright? Again, two loaves of bread. And you will take from their hand. Okay? Verse 5. Achar kain tavo givat ha'elohim asher sham netzive pelishtim. And after this, Achar Cain, you will go to Givat, To the hill of God, okay, to Gibeah. And again, there you can see that on your map where he's kind of headed. All right. Where there is the Netzivei Pelishtim. Notice that Netzivei is from the root Yatsav. Sometimes there's a biform Natsav, means to stand. Natsiv is a noun that can mean a pillar or a column. It can also mean like a standing guard or garrison. So a Netzivei, the garrisons of the Philistines. All right, so there must have been some kind of Philistine presence there. Okay. Vihi kevoaka sham ha'ir. Okay, it will come to pass. Kevoaka. What's the form here? What root is this? It's bow. And so with the kaf in front of it, the preposition, you can almost guess what kind of structure this is. What kind of conjugation? Good. Call infinitive construct. Notice it's temporal. Now it will come to pass as soon as you enter Sham, enter there, Ha'ir, the city, Upagata, you will meet a Hevel Nevi'im. You will meet a band of prophets. Alright. Yordi Meha Bama. You'll meet a band of prophets coming down. Notice that that's a call participle, again, masculine, plural. So you will meet a band of prophets as they are coming down from the Bama, from the high place. All right. Velifnehem Nevel Vetof Vechalil Vekinor. And before them, you have to understand the verb, will be a Nevel, which is what, the lyre? These are all kinds of musical instruments. The lyre and the cymbal and the chalil, the flute, and the kinor, and the harp. I guess this is synecdoche for people playing these instruments. I don't think they're walking along unless you're in Fantasia, Disneyland, right? The instruments walk. But you don't have that here. All right. You guys ever see Fantasia? A long time ago, you'll want to forget it. Never mind. Vehema mit nab'im. Okay, now notice the verb form here. What's the root? Nava, and you know that it's a denominative from the famous word Navi, which we had in the previous line. All right, so it means to prophesy. And this is the hit pael. So what were they doing? It's kind of an interesting question. It's literally translated, they were, and I'm going to translate this, they were acting like prophets or exhibiting the behavior of prophets. Some suggest that this was engaging in some kind of ecstatic speech or ecstatic behavior, and you'll see translations that actually translate it like that. Okay, they were speaking in ecstasy or something like that. Although we're not sure of that, right? I don't know if they were all like preaching sermons. I don't know, Tom, what do you think? Who knows, right? Okay, but here's the interesting part, what comes next, is whatever they were doing, Saul starts doing it. First of all, are there any questions through verse 5? All right, verse 6. Vetzalcha aleka ruach Yahweh. Notice that this is from Zalach. Right, and in this case, it means to grip or to grip him or to come down upon him. But it's probably more dramatic than that. And the ruach Yahweh, see, and the spirit of Yahweh gripped him or burst out upon him. Sometimes it's translated like that. Vehit nabita. He's telling what will happen. The Spirit of God will burst out on you or grip you, and you will prophesy. Notice that this is from the same root as previously. It's a hit pael from Nava, but you don't have the aleph there. Okay, it's just a spelling peculiarity. Okay, and you will start behaving like a prophet imam with them. Ve nepakta la'ish acher. And you will be turned. Notice that this is from hafak. And it's a nifal perfect, second masculine singular. And you will be turned into an ish acher. And you will be turned into another man. You will become a different person. Wow. That's kind of cool. All right. Questions about verse 6. All right. Vehaya Ki tavona ha otot ha elalak, ase lakasher timsa yadeka, ki ha'elohim imak. Okay, and it will come to pass, ki tavona. What's the root of tavona? Again, bo. We're getting a lot of bo words here. See, this is kind of our theme word. It's a call imperfect, third feminine. Okay? And the subject follows. And it will happen, ki, and again, I'm going to translate it temporal. So notice you have a different kind of construction for indicating temporality here. And when these signs come to you, all right, when these signs come to you, aselaka, call imperative from asa, do for yourself, asher timsa yadeka, do for yourself what your hand finds. All right, something like act as seems appropriate to, or act as the opportunity gives you, I think. And I think it's referring to something, for example, the first time that happens in the next chapter, when it once again talks about the Spirit of God falling on Saul in this conflict that he had, in this call to arms. All right. When these signs happen to you, do for yourself what your hand finds, for God is with you. All right? It's kind of amazing here. Any questions on verse 7? Verse 8. Ve'yirata lefanai ha-gilgal ve'hinano ki yored eleka le ha'alot olot lizboa zivche shalomim. And you will go down, lefanai, before me, ha-gilgal, to Gilgal. Alright, so notice, remember, that's according to that map, notice that that's actually west of where he seems to be going. You will go down before me to Gilgal, and look, ani yored, I will come down to you. Okay, Samuel's talking a lot in participles today. Look, I will come down to you. Le'ha'alot, in order to offer up. Notice that that's from the root what? Allah. Again, hifil, infinitive construct. All right. I will come down to you. And notice how it functions here. It functions for as what? If I translate, in order to offer. Notice it's functioning as purpose. See? And I will come down to you in order to offer olot, burnt offerings. Lizboach, another infinitive construct, notice, to sacrifice the zivche shalamim, the sacrifices of well-being, or here's the fellowship offerings, remember, in which the people could participate. This is the one sacrifice that not only the priest got to share, but the people participated. And it was usually the sacrifice that was the last in a series of sacrifices and accompanied, it was the one done out of thanksgiving, celebration, the fulfillment of vows, things like that. And so that sacrifice is especially significant given our sacramental understanding of the system of sacrifice, because they would actually have to eat it in the sanctuary. Okay, so I will come down to offer up olot, whole burnt offerings, to sacrifice the sacrifices of well-being or the fellowship sacrifices. Pause right there, shalomim, notice. Okay, now, Shivat Yamin Tochel Ad Bo'i. Notice accusative of extent of time. For 7 days you shall wait. Tochel, what's the root? Anyone see it?
Yachal.
Very good. Yachal, and what conjugation is it? It is a hifil, very good. It's a hifil imperfect from Yachal. Alright? And notice it tells you that it's a first yud verb. How do you know? Yeah, notice that vav there is kind of a first line clue that you're dealing, even if you don't know the root, you got two root letters, and you can kind of guess the third root letter, because there's a change at the front of the verb rather than kind of at the end there. So if you're even kind of searching around, you might try chala or chul. Finally, you'll get to yachal, see? So you got 1 out of 3 chance right away. All right? So for 7 days you must wait, ad bo'i, until my coming. Okay? Until I come. Another infinitive from bo. All right? Until I come, eleka, to you. Okay? Vehodati leka et asher ta'aseh. And I will make known to you. What's the root of hodati now? Yada, another first yod. See? See, Mark? See how easy that is? A hifil again, because you got the big vav there. And I will make known to you what ta'aseh, what you must do. Okay? Any questions about verse 8? Good. Verse 9. Vehaya ke'af noto shikmo la leket meim shemuel. And it will happen as soon... I'm sorry, and it happened. Okay? Yeah, this is interesting. Let's see here. Wait a minute. I got to read here. Well, let me read and I'll find out whether it's future or past. Ke'af noto. What's the root? Anyone see it? It's a third hey from Pana. Pana. And notice that ot ending at the end tells you that. You can be pretty certain you're working with an infinitive because of the kaf in front of it. Remember, prepositions can't go in front of finite verbs or imperatives. So you got a pretty good clue that you're working with an infinitive. As soon as his turning his shoulder from Pana. So as soon as he turned his shoulder, la leket, to go, okay? See, now I know what messed me up. Okay, notice the first word in vehaya. It's a vav plus perfect. This is actually referring to the past now. Samuel is not kind of telling him what he's going to do. It's telling us what happened. What would you expect there instead of vehaya? And the footnote actually gives you a clue. Tells you the answer. Yeah, you would expect vayahi. Remember, we have had this form in Samuel, referring to the past. We had it way back in Samuel 1, the story of Hannah. And it occurs a number of times in Samuel. And rather than translating it, and it will be, see, the context tells you it has to be, and it happened. Okay, it could be because of a dialectical form or colloquialism. You know, there are some linguists who suggest that there's a, you know, again, a colloquial usage for vav plus perfects like this that's coming through the crust of standard biblical Hebrew, which would be vayahi. So you have an irregularity here. Okay, so yes.
When that hay disappears and is it the holem that?
Yeah, notice that, remember the third hey is for the infinitive constructs across the board. The third letter comes off and you always got that oat ending. Okay? So gala, the call would be galot. Okay? So you're always going to have that. So if you see a cough in front of a word like oat, you might think, oh, this is a feminine noun, right? But another good guess would be, especially in a construction like this, we're dealing with an infinitive. Okay? So it came to pass, let me just do it that way, rather literally. As soon as he turned his shoulder, la leket, in order to go. Notice that that's from halak. As soon as he turned his shoulder in order to go, me'im shemuel, from Samuel. Now here we get a vav consecutive. Vayahafak lo Elohim lev acher. Hafak means to turn or to overturn. He turned another heart to him, namely God. So a good English translation, God gave to him a lev acher, another heart. Okay? Now how did we know? So this is fascinating how the Holy Spirit is kind of doing his work on Saul to make him the kind of leader he wants him to be. Vayavou kol ha'otot ha'ela bayom ha'hu. And they came, namely all these signs came, by Yom Hahu, on that very day. Okay? Verse 10, Va Yavo Sham Ha Givata. So they came there to Gibeah. Okay? Vehine, Chevel Nevi'im. So notice that the end of verse 9, remember, we talk about this a lot in our Exodus and Torah class, narrative style. A lot of times in Hebrew, you will get a summary statement. and like a summary statement, and then subsequent verses will fill in the gap. Sometimes you get a lot of details and then a recap kind of at the end. And so sometimes there's like flashbacks in the text. All right. So notice here you kind of get the summary at the end of 9. All the signs came to him on that day. Now in 10, he's backfilling. All right. He's going to explain and elaborate. So they came there to Giva, and look, the Hevel of Nevi'im, a band of prophets, Likrato, to meet him. And now notice the same words being used, Zalak, Bat Zilak Alav Ruach Elohim. And the Spirit of God burst out upon him, or gripped him. Vayitnabe betokam, and he began to act as a prophet in their midst. Okay? Vayahi, here we get kind of a standard form. And it happened. Kol yodo me itmol shilshom. Okay, let's look at those words. Yodo. Okay, notice that that is a participle from yada. Here you have the plain A spelling. It has the helping holam with it, plus the third masculine singular suffix. And I want you to just look at this whole verse when I get done with it, because let me just translate it now. Everyone who had known him may itmol from, notice that that's from men, itmol means yesterday, shil shom is a combination, notice it's kind of a composite of the word three, shalosh, and then yom. 3 days ago. Okay, notice 3 days ago. But this is an idiom that we would translate with just one English word, previously. See, it's literally yesterday, 3 days ago. But it means previously. So, everyone who had known him previously, vayar, and they saw, vehine, and look, with the prophet's nibbah, he was prophesying. Notice what form this nibbah is. What's the root? Nava, and what conjugation? Nope. It's close. Nifal. Notice that what form had we had before with this root? We've had the hitpael, right? And again, whether there's a distinction in meaning, it's really hard to say, but remember we've had other, there are other verbs in which the hitpael and nifal seem to go back and forth with each other. To hide is one of those. From Chava, he hid himself, and sometimes Nifal. And also, remember the famous one is to bless. But in Genesis 12, you knew all nations of the earth will hit pile. But there's at least one time where the form within that promise is a Nifal as well. So, I don't know whether there's a distinction of meaning. I'll just translate it. And look, with the prophets, he was prophesying. Vayomer ha'am, and the people said, Ish el re'ehu, each one to his neighbor. We'd probably say, the people said to each other, Mazehaya leven chish, what in the world, notice the mazeh, kind of gives an extra emphasis to the question, what in the world has happened to the son of Kish? Hagam Sha'ul ba nevi'im, is even Saul, or is also Saul, Ba Nevi'im, among the prophets? See? It's kind of like a major league football player becoming an evangelist, you know. That doesn't happen. That maybe it does happen more often in our society. But anyway, I want you to look at this word. Go to the word Vayir'u in the middle of verse 11. And what's the subject? Notice that the subject comes before the verb. You guys, we all learned in Hebrew that when you have a vav consecutive, the subject never precedes it. But here you got it. I mean, it's kind of awkward for us. It's just kind of hanging there. We might want to translate it. Now, something like this, if you want to get the vayahi in there. There was everyone who had known him previously. Or maybe something like, as for everyone who had known him previously, Vayir'u. They looked. Vehine, and they could see that he was prophesying with the prophets. Notice hine really usually indicates visual perception, vivid perception, or something kind of surprising, and that certainly fits the case here. So, you know, that might be what it is, but notice that the structure is kind of awkward as far as what we are familiar with. Okay, and so it's a kind of an interesting form to think about. And once again, to finish it off, and the people said, each one to his neighbor, and again, notice how you have the collective with the singular verb here. It depends very often. It depends on the noun that's being collected, whether it's singular or plural. You have a tendency in later Hebrew to use plural verbs with collectives more. But again, you almost have to do a word study of every collective to see the distribution. So the people said to each other, "What in the world has happened to the son of Kish? Is also Saul among the prophets?" Right. And we'll get the answer next week as we go to verse 12. Any questions up through 11? All right. Thank you very much, you guys. Have a good day.